Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Carson's Corner, the MMA show. My name is Bob Carson, and we're back, folks. It's been a while since we released our MMA show, and we're back delivering to you top-notch interviews and analysis of the sports of mixed martial arts. We're very, very proud to have Davidius Tursavicius. He's going to be calling in any moment now, and we wanted to speak to him because, first of all, I've been following Davidius for a long time now, okay? I remember years ago, before the boom of mixed martial arts, I was training at a place in Red Bank. There was a school in Red Bank, a jiu-jitsu school. I'm not sure if it still exists and whatnot. And because I wanted to do MMA, okay? And, you know, back then, it was unheard of for a school to do jiu-jitsu. You didn't have it, you know, especially not at least by me. You know, on the West Coast, that was a different story. But here in Central Jersey, there was really nothing for jiu-jitsu. And I started to go to this place, and they had a school in Holmdel as well. And Davidius Tursavicius, I believe, was training when I was training back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it just goes to show you just how long this individual has been training. And he's been – Davidius is probably one of the best non-UFC fighters out there, okay, arguably flying under the radar. He's got a 17-5 record, according to SureDog.com. He's beaten many – individuals that have fought and lost and fought and won in the UFC. The current bantamweight champion of World Series of Fighting, Marlon Moraes, Davidius choked him out in two rounds. Davidius has fought in the IFL. He's fought in WEC, losing to just top-notch opponents. And most of his losses were controversial. And so we want to talk to him because he's kind of flying under the radar, and he's a guy that it really has an impressive record when you look at it. And you would think now with the World Series of Fighting having Moraes as the champion that they'd want to bring Davidius in. And so that's why we're excited to speak to him. He should be calling in. Very, very nice guy. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, I believe, trained under Renzo Gracie, former rugby player and everything. And he has a real, real work ethic. He really does. And so we're going to find out more about him in just a few moments here on Carson's Corner. I got to tell you, over the weekend, I don't know if you people, some people may friend me on Facebook. By the way, you can friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA, and you can find out what I've got going on there. Well, I attended the ADCC qualifying tournament, grappling tournament in Queens College in Queens, New York, and that was really, really a hoot. Eddie Goldman invited me to this event, and you know, for those of you out there that have been following the show for a long time, you know that Eddie and I have covered several events over the years. It's an honor. I haven't covered an event with Eddie in about 2 or 3 years. The last one we did was the M1, when M1 Global had their tournament in Atlantic City. And so we wanted to cover the event. I wanted to get some pictures with Eddie. It's been a while since we met in person and everything like that. And I actually, after the event, I appeared on the No Holds Barred show. And it's been a long time since I've been on the No Holds Barred show. And it was really, really important because this show that we did was not show 999. Eddie Goldman has done almost now with the release of his latest show with John Peretti. Eddie Goldman has done 1,000 radio shows, 1,000 podcasts dedicated to the sport of or the combat sports more broadly. And I think that's really amazing. I think that's a milestone. And I posted the internet or the forum. I posted to the underground forum on as far as the interview is concerned. And a lot of people didn't even know that Eddie Goldman was still around. You know, Eddie Goldman was still kicking him. A lot of people remember him from the IATA days. They remember him from the Smashing Machine, where Eddie was the narrator. But people just don't. A lot of people don't know that he's still around. And Dana White knows he's still around because I remember a couple of years ago I posted something about Eddie and Dana immediately started cursing off, launching expletives towards Eddie. And so, I got to tell you, it was really good for me to show to go back on that show. We did an analysis of the event. We spoke about the atmosphere. We spoke about DJ Jackson and just the level of grappling that we saw at this event. And we hope to cover future events. You know, you can visit their website at adcc.com, and you can find out, hopefully, that they have posted the results, because for the last few days, I haven't been able to find the results. The results really have been nowhere to be found. So check that out. Check out Eddie Goldman's podcast at nhbnews.podomatic.com or nhbnews.blogspot.com. Without further ado, let's go to our guest, the man I was talking about at the very beginning of this show. Davidius, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on with me tonight.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
Good, good, good. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. You know, I'm excited. I really wanted to have you on the show. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I've really been following you for a long time. And if I'm not mistaken, you started jiu-jitsu, or at least you trained jiu-jitsu in Red Bank, starting mm-hmm. back in the late 1990s, because I remember I started training in jiu-jitsu. You know, back then you couldn't get any jiu-jitsu schools. They're just not around Central Jersey. And I wanted to get into MMA, and I started training at this school. They had a Holmdel location, which is near Red Bank, not too far. And,
I remember.
Yeah, and is that where it kind of all started in terms of jiu-jitsu for you?
Yeah, jiu-jitsu, yes. I started in the Red Bank. There was not many clubs around. But I started with 2000, because I came to America 2001. I started about in 2003, 2004. That's when I started jiu-jitsu. But, yeah, that's exactly what I started. That was in Red Bank.
Yep.
Professional Karate Academy. I remember the even name.
Yeah, and that was, I believe, a Gracie-affiliated school.
I believe that it's Higan Machado, I think.
Oh, that's Higan right, Machado. That's right. Yeah. I remember that now because the owner gave me a big spiel about Higan Machado and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you just how long you've been involved with the sport, and myself too, to a lesser extent. And it feels like, you know, we haven't seen you in action inside the ring for a while. I thought about having you on the show as a good way to remind people what a great career you've had and a high-level fighter you are, very much so. And am I right in saying that you don't have any fights lined up at this exact moment?
Yes, I don't have anything lined up at this moment.
Well, like I said, it seems like now you've been out of the ring for a little while, from what I can tell. You've been out, I think, since a year since your last fight in Ring of Combat, which is a solid promotion. I mean, Lou Neglia, they've been around for a long time, and I actually had the misfortune of competing in a Ring of Combat event when I was just ignorantly prepared for the fight. But is there multiple reasons or any reasons for the absence?
Yeah, there is a few reasons. But yes, the Raya Ring of Combat is a solid organization, no question. I had five fights at this show, in which all of them I was my title defenses. They match good fights for me, with a great fighter such as Frank Arabella, Mike Santiago, Marlon Moroes. They treat me good. They're a very good, solid show. And like I mentioned, there is a few reasons why you haven't seen me fighting in a cage.
What about injuries?
The injuries, I feel very good, very lucky about that. I don't have any injuries. Compare, I went through the two professional sports and I'm 36 years old. I'm injury-free, feel very lucky about this.
Yeah, but you had a rugby background, what we're going to get to. And you were fighting pretty frequently in the WEC, a lot of wars. You had a lot of great fights with some great wins. But that must, take its toll on your body. And we look at fighters now that are retiring, 30, in their early 30s, which there's just a short lifespan for MMA fighters. So all the fighting must in some way, shape, or form have taken its toll on your body.
Yes, it definitely would take a toll on your body. I think it's all about how you're staying off-season. If you're staying in shape, if you take care of your body, not just like guys jumping on and right away preparing for the fights, I was always staying all around here in shape, and that's the thing who helped me stay pre-injured. Yeah, I consider myself lucky being 36 and still able to go.
Yeah, and Davidius and I are friends on Facebook, I follow Davidius, and I could tell you, and I know from just speaking to you off the air that you are still very, very highly active, very highly regimented, and everything is, which is what you'd expect from someone like Davidius, who has a great career and is one, I would argue, one of the top non-UFC fighters out there at this point. How would you like to return to competition, to the ring, ideally? Are you looking to build yourself with Ring of Combat fights, or would you like to jump back, at the top level, which I guess right now has to be the UFC?
Well, Bob, let me ask you the question.
Yeah.
Once you finish the high school, do you want to go back to start all over, or do you look to go to the college?
Exactly, the latter.
The question
yep.
would be go to the, yes. That would not make sense to me to go back to the organization. My target is UFC. That's how I would look. There is no point for me to go and prove something to these organizations.
Yeah, to their credit, you have shows like the WSOF, the World Series of Fighting and Bellator. And I was saying this in the beginning of the show, with you defeating the WSOF, the World Series of Fighting Bantamweight Champion, Marlon Moraes, I think that you'd be a shoo-in to go back there and to fight him again. Have you had any contact at all with major non-UFC promotions like Bellator or World Series of Fighting, or MFC for that matter, in Canada?
Yeah, I had a lot of offers after I finished my last fight with the Ring of Combat, but at that moment I was not showing any interest in them because was only one thing was on my mind was set on UFC.
Now let's talk about the fight with Marlon. You choked him out in the second round. Have you had any communication? Just give us your thoughts on that fight and what you remember from it.
Yes, of course I remember that fight. That was my second title fight at the end of time when I was defending my title. I didn't do any homework on Marlon. That was my biggest mistake, I think. All I knew about him, that was his black belt, Brazilian, and had some Muay Thai background. And it was in the beginning of the fight was my little mistake to go toe-to-toe and play his game. I remember even like now, after a couple punches, exchanges, I got counted with the punches. We end up I end up in a worse position with the black belt Brazilian on my back.
Yeah.
But I stay calm. I defend proper submission, attempt and reverse him. That's how I end up on the top position. And that's what I use my jiu-jitsu. That's why magic happened. I guide that arm triangle. And I remember just only after that fight, I find out how good he is. I was working in my locker room, and everybody was congratulating. Oh, you beat just some Muay Thai Brazilian national champion. He's great and win many tournaments. I'm like, wow, really? Just right now I'm finding out? I guess that was like I didn't do homework. That's why I paid in the beginning to get to join in his game. So I came up with him.
And you still came out on top, and so, you know, if you were to have a rematch with him, then, you know, you could have the potential to do even better than the first fight. Although I'm sure Moraes has improved since you guys.
He's good. He's good then. He's good now. He's a champion right now. Like I mentioned, is it didn't come for him everything in one day. He worked hard. He went through fight, another fight he built up himself. And it's good for him. I'm happy for him. And I'd like to congratulate. He became the champion. Like I said, you have to put hard work and dedication to become the champion.
What message do you have for the promoters out there as well as the fighters in your division?
I think first I would have message for manager out here. That I'm free right now of any contracts. I end up with my management team on a good terms, and now I'm on free. And we'll see. I hope very soon I will deliver a message to the fighters on my own in the cage with some action, not words.
Yes, very, very well said. And management, too. I mean, you know, there's, you know, the Red Fury Fight Team. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're probably...
What's the name?
The Red Fury Fight Team.
Red Fury or Cage Fury?
The Red Fury Fight Team.
I never heard that. Maybe
they have a whole bunch of, and they're you know, Eastern European fighters. Adlan Amagov, who I believe retired from MMA, he's fought in the UFC. A bunch of a fighter in Bellator, I believe. Nurmagomedov, they have a whole bunch of fighters. Sam Carden is there. It runs the team, and you know, and they're right in your area too. They're basically North Jersey and everything like that. And so
like I mentioned, we'll see right now. Like I said, I'm a free agent. I don't have any strings attached to anybody. We end up with my manager on good terms. That's the basic almost like I want to mention, like that's the reason I missed that year, because we have some disagreements about fighting, about my future, what I want to fight, and doesn't look he work in my interest, and that's why I stayed to the side mostly that year.
Now, if you would come back to competition, what weight would you come back at? Would it be featherweight? Is that still where your body feels more comfortable competing, or would you go up? Or
yeah, I would stay probably the same weight, 145, because like I mentioned, I'm staying all year around busy, staying in shape. So for me, to make 145 would not be a problem. That's probably featherweight division. That's where I would stay. Of course, I don't have fans, you know, fans for 135. I never did that, but I know I'm training with the people, you know, who's making that weight and don't have problems. I don't think I would have to if would need to, but at now was my head would be on 145, same 145 division.
And like I said at the start of the interview, I'd like to remind people what a high level you fought at and won at. You're on a 5-fight winning streak with all those wins coming by submission. Before that, you lost 2 fights by split decision and majority decision to 2 very high-caliber fighters, Elsie Davis and Wilson Hayes. Hayes is competing in the UFC and doing very well, I'm sure you know. Many people felt that you won both those fights. Do you feel like those losses count against you in terms of getting into an organization like the UFC?
Yes. I had three fights with the contract with Zuffa. That moment was two of them I won, and the last one was with LC Davis, which one I lost by with very close decision, which one can go either way. I believe that's what caused me loss of the contract extension with WEC, because after a couple of months, that's where Zuffa merged UFC and WEC, and all the fighters who I beat even in the WEC, they end up in UFC because they contract still under the WEC. So that kind of was little no luck for me at that point. That loss against LC Davis, that I think is cost me why I didn't get extended the contract.
You've beaten at least four fighters who fought in the UFC, I believe. In fact, you've beaten at least four fighters who've won fights in the UFC. And you're not beating these one-and-done guys the UFC picks up for, you know, their newest edition of the Ultimate Fighter reality show. But like I said,
yeah.
You choked out Marlon Moraes, and, you spoke about him as an opponent. He was, he is now the champion at the World Series of Fighting. Are you in a position of being too much of a risk to bring in for fights against some of these champions promotions are favoring?
Yeah, of course, because we faced before already one time that happened already. I mean, I win that fight, that can happen again. So of course they have some risk, but like I said, this is MMA, everything can happen. But if they build up the person, yes.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, keep going, Bob.
It seems crazy to me that, you know, we haven't had at least seen you with a Bellator tournament or super fight spot. Bellator especially needs to bring guys in like you to refresh their divisions. Since you're known for tapping people out, I wanted to ask you something. In general, we've seen less submissions in MMA recently. As someone who still submits people very regularly in the cage and probably one of the sport's most reliable submission fighters, why do you think we're seeing less finishes that way? Are guys just playing it safe more?
Yes and no, but yes, definitely with guys right now, it's playing a little bit more safe. You know, some of them don't want to go for a submission. They don't want to lose the position, and they're playing safe where they better would stay in the guard instead, try past the guard and look for a submission. That's the one thing. Another thing I think is right now is UFC bringing a little bit another organization, a little bit lower level fighters like B, which one is jiu-jitsu, not top games. They were looking, you know, more for the exciting fights, punches, knockouts. But, you know, like I mentioned, jiu-jitsu is the art, which one you have to do for a long time to be good with jiu-jitsu. It not comes right away. And these fighters right now, young, of course, and they're going to fight longer. They're going to develop that skill. But some of them just don't have it right now. And some of them who have it just looking for a safe way, you know, don't want to lose the position as we speak, and looking just to win by decision.
I'd say that you must be one of the world's most underrated grapplers. I know you've trained with Henzo and that you are a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. However, the word is that you were offered a black belt at one point, actually turned it down because you wanted more experience. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. We have that situation. I was training at that moment at the so-called Alexander. I was a great jiu-jitsu practitioner, world champion. I was training under him, and I remember I was getting water, black belt. And I didn't turn out because of the, you know, of him, because I don't want to get belt from him. I want to get from somebody else now, because I didn't feel at that moment like I was my skill was here. I'm talking about the skill, not like MMA fighting, jiu-jitsu. I'm talking about real, like BJJ with the gi. That's why I didn't feel like it was my skill ready. I kind of just stepped back and said, thank you. I respect everything for that. But at that moment, yes, I didn't took the black belt.
That's a very interesting story. I think it shows maturity on your part to defer receiving the rank until you thought you had truly earned it. Do you think the black belt division and black belts in general has become watered down at this stage? I mean, we hear guys referred to as BJJ black belts during MMA shows, and some of these guys aren't convincing as others.
Yes, again and no. I would say, if first of all, who's giving you the belt?
Right.
If, let's say, Renzo Gracie already giving you a black belt, or like Sok Alexander, they probably already seeing you and believing you, like you're real black belt. They're not giving anybody black belt. You have to deserve that to get. And some of them just opposite way, like some of the practitioners. They're just giving the belts because they want to keep some MMA fighter or what close to him or keep in the gym. And that's why they're giving some of them these belts. But like I said, real jiu-jitsu practitioners are like Gracie, like Soka, Daniel Gracie, all these guys, if you're receiving from them, this is already, they mean it. They're seeing you like you real, really deserve black belts.
Do you ever consider competing in grappling-only events like Metamoris or ADCC?
Yeah, I was watching actually that Metamoris. That was interesting, especially with that Eddie Bravo fight.
Yeah.
With the Grace, that was very interesting. Yeah, that would be interesting, but not in this one. But who knows? I love jiu-jitsu, especially grappling. That would be interesting. Maybe one day you're going to see me.
What percentage of your skills did you learn on the Lithuanian MMA scene? My understanding is that with organizations like Rings, Lithuania was one of the European countries which embraced MMA first.
I was a rugby player and when I was in Lithuania. That was not that much in 10 years, 12 years ago, that much MMA. I remember I was watching the tapes. Was the UFC 1 coming out, was Gracie, that we don't have in Lithuania, but and nothing from MMA. Only used to be just judo, boxing, and karate, that's it. But I was just doing for fun, just doing a little bit judo, some boxing, but really I was really just concentrating on a different sport. I was in a rugby. That was my main sport.
Yeah, a lot of people may not realize how brutal and grappling-oriented rugby really is as a sport. John Hathaway is another top fighter with a rugby background. Can you tell the folks at home how you think your time as a rugby player helped you prepare to be a professional fighter?
Well, rugby is definitely a tough sport. Everybody who played that sport knows how much you have to put in to be in a team, especially a good team and professional level. Rugby. It's a tough sport, but the difference is the rugby sport is a team sport, and the MMA is more individual.
Yeah.
So basically, what I took mostly from rugby is I think that character, to don't give up, keep training, like all the conditioning, all fundamental for my conditioning. That's what I think I developed from the that toughness from the rugby.
Are incredibly tough. I mean, it's a dangerous sport. There's no doubt about that. I think you need to be pretty brave to play, especially at the pro level. You can be paralyzed or killed, or, you know, playing rugby, if you're careless or unlucky, can lead to disastrous consequences. Is there a lot of talent in terms of MMA in your home country still? I mean, why don't we see more Lithuanian fighters on the international scene at the moment?
Yeah, it is some Lithuanian fighters. Actually, right now is the, if you know, Marius Jaronskis, one of the
yes.
Lithuanians, actually is from my town, even Šiauliai. Then who else from the bigger names? Then Rauza Rose Namajunas. She has something Lithuanian going on in her blood, I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of young talents. It was last year I was visiting Lithuania and doing a couple of seminars. Yeah, I saw a lot of interest, a lot of potential growing up right here in that country. They just need to have bigger access to step up on a bigger platform to show what they're able to do. But definitely they have some talents.
Yeah, in some ways, you must be considered the boss of Lithuania MMA, because from what I you know, what I've seen is that you basically represent the best fighter from there, one of the best fighters from there, and I expect, as a result, a lot of the younger fighters on the scene look up to you. Is that the case, or are you too far removed from the scene at this point to be considered a major part of it?
Yeah, I still keep in connections with them. I have a lot of followers from Lithuania, especially from my town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still connected with them, with MMA, still communicating with a lot of fighters, giving them some ideas how to train, how to lose the weight, how to prepare for fights. I still staying in touch with them.
You're still running your gym as well, right?
Yes.
And is that Taurus MMA?
Yes, Taurus MMA.
Yeah, we need to let people know where that is and how they can come past it if they want to learn from one of the most proven grapplers and fighters in the area. Do you have a Facebook or Twitter or anything like that?
Yes, I have the. You can find us on Facebook, Taurus MMA, or you can go on my page, Davidas Taurus Savages. On my page, you can see the more information what we're doing here, and also I can tell you where we're located.
Yeah.
Inside the Extreme Gym on the second floor. This is 918. Carmine's Road, Massapequa, New York. That's where you can find us.
Well, that sounds great. If that really does. I wish you all the best. Hope to see you back in action soon. And we would love to see you in the UFC. I think you'd be a great addition for sure. So, Davidius Tarasevicius, thank you very much for coming on Carson's Corner. And I wish you all the best, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Thank you guys for having me here.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Davidius Tarasevicius here on Carson's Corner. Very, very good interview. Really appreciate that. And you know what? He's right. I mean, you know, he wants to go to the most powerful, the best organization out there. And that is clearly by the fighter rosters, you know, by the near monopoly that they have on the sport, I would argue, is the UFC. And so, you know, if I could help out, too, with management, because, you know, I may know some people in the industry that could get that to happen. I really think it would be a good fit. I really do. In any event, we're going to take a brief time out here on Carson's Corner. We'll be right back. My name is Bob Carson. Keep it right here, folks.
Get over here! We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. I was just thinking, we got to get back the old Carson's Corner MMA intro. Remember what a classic that was, where, you know, you had the music and it was really long. A lot of people were complaining about it, but you know what? I'm sorry. I just love it. You know, we had Misha Tate. We had Justin Lawrence of the XFC. We had the Stitch Duran. I can't even remember all the other people. The Joey Odessa, I believe. We need to get it back. It's very, very important. It's very distinguishable. It really distinguishes this show. And we've done a lot of shows over the years. Not as many as Eddie Goldman, who reached his 1,000th show with John Peretti. Isn't that great? John Peretti was on the latest edition of No Holds Barred. And before that, you can hear Bob Carson. Bob Carson and Eddie Goldman shooting the breeze. You know, my producer, Donnie, just told me that the UFC is going to have like 7,000 events in the next like 4 or 5 days. It's hard to keep, you know, I don't do this full time. I do this part time. Okay. And as you know, sometimes it's difficult for us to regularly release the show because, you know, we can have difficulty getting guests. And now what you're seeing as the corporations got involved with this, the Johnny-come-lately individuals, now us independent guys, the guys that really do a good job interviewing these fighters and really care about the fighters and go in depth and, you know, are against the grain, we can't compete with these corporations. And a lot of times the UFC and other organizations, and you know, this is not just the Bellator, and World Series of Fighting seems to be a little bit more press-friendly to the independent guys because I get their press releases all the time. They really frown upon what we do. They will not allow their so-called stars to talk to us, and I think that's unfortunate because a lot of these fighters that I've had on the show before, you know, that go on to become Bellator champions or go on to become UFC champions, you can't get them once they reach a certain level. And I think that's unfortunate because, like I said, because of the way the corporate media is structured, you're only going to get a few minutes with these guys and you're not going to get past the talking points. So how's the training going? You're fighting, you know, the surface stuff that corporate America really just wants you to listen to, you know, and if you really develop a better understanding of these fighters and the better understanding of the, you know, landscape of the sport, then you need to listen to really comprehensive, in-depth interviews. And I submit to you that Carson's Corner is the place just to do that. There's just no question about that. We in all these years, we have not gone away. We have not gone unnoticed, okay? And people still talk about the show. We still have left our mark on the sport of MMA, and we continue to move forward. I can't even really tell you what's coming up on UFC, the UFC on the 11th. I got to go to the website because I know that Tim Kennedy is set to fight Michael Bisping, and that's coming up, I believe, on the 18th. That I know is taking place, and I'm kind of looking forward to that fight because Michael Bisping is 35. Okay, he still thinks that he can make a run at the title. He just had eye surgery. He's got this gel in his eye to, you know, basically allow him, that allows him to fight again. He's got this oil in his eye, and he's not going to be able to have that in his eye forever, so presumably he's not going to be fighting for too much longer. And then you've got Kennedy, who we had Tim Kennedy years ago on the show, and I don't even know if we'd be able to get him back on the show, but he was very nice. We spoke to him in person. I met him at Mark Cuban's Reckless Abandon event in 2009, and that was when he fought Jason Mayhem Miller, and he lost a controversial decision because Miller elbowed him, and there was no elbows allowed in that promotion. And Tim was classy. He didn't really call out Mayhem Miller, who's really went on to embarrass himself in MMA and just proven to be kind of an unstable person. But I don't think I'd be able to get Tim Kennedy back. But nonetheless, Tim Kennedy is an animal. He is a real beast. And you look at, and I don't like to use that term because we commentators refer to, you know, every black fighter is a beast, and it becomes, there's racial undertones in that. But, you know, if you watch a video of him train and everything, and you could see just the natural strength that Tim Kennedy possesses, and his military background, he's a survivalist, he, you know, has a special forces background, which has allowed him to train using unconventional methods. And, you know, surprisingly enough, Tim Kennedy does not have a wrestling background, and yet his MMA wrestling is very, very solid. You know, there's a good chance he's going to try to take Bisping down. But Tim Kennedy also has knockout power, okay? There's no question. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this fight went either way if Kennedy knocks out Bisping. I don't think Bisping's going to be able to knock out Kennedy. I think Bisping wins this fight if he does in a stand-up, you know, decision. And you know, Michael Bisping's last fight versus Alan Belcher, that was when he got the injury, or after that fight, I believe. It was a real lackluster fight, and the fans really didn't appreciate that. And Tim Kennedy, on the other hand, is coming off a few wins, you know, beating Hodger Gracie and then knocking out Rafael Natal, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And that was on the UFC fight night for the troops. And so, you know, Bisping's been out for, you know, a long time, and who knows what's going to happen. I really wouldn't be surprised if either guy won this fight. And then the question is, what are they going to do with Bisping if he wins at 185? You know, what's going to happen with him? There are definitely, you know, potential matchups with him, but we'll have to see how the division plays out. And then this Friday, you've got Nogueira versus Nelson. That's a UFC fight night. I'm on the website now, and I'm just not excited to see this fight. I don't even think that I'm going to even get this. I don't even think I – just they're – you know, I mean, Roy Nelson – it is probably, if he loses, there's a good chance he's going to get cut. The UFC now is cutting fighters. You saw Jake Shields cut, and Jake Shields has been around a long time. And you know, Dana White had some good points about Jake Shields, and I can almost understand why he was cut. But I'm really not interested in seeing this fight because it really, I mean, I think at this point, or any one of these guys championship material. I mean, yeah, theoretically they can go on a run and win, you know, or get a title shot, but I don't think so. I really don't. I think both of these guys are kind of on their way out in terms of their career. And there's another fight that I'm interested on this card in seeing. It's the Ryan LaFleur versus John Howard fight, because Ryan LaFleur has looked very impressive in his last fights, a few of his last fights. He's undefeated, actually, and it's always interesting seeing an undefeated fighter fight in any organization. So we're going to have to see what happens there. But overall, I would say that I'm not interested in this card whatsoever, and you know, I don't think you're going to have really that many ramifications coming from this fight card does not have many implications. It really doesn't. But on the other hand, you've got the event I was talking about featuring Tim Kennedy versus Michael Bisping, and the trash talking has really gotten out of control, where you have Michael Bisping or Tim Kennedy calling Michael Bisping a homophobe on Twitter, saying he's a dirty fighter. This seems to be what the UFC wants, is a great deal of animosity. As we know, that these fights are built on animosity and the hatred that both fighters have for each other. And Michael Bisping, of course, is notorious for this. That's you know what he does. But again, aside from the one fight with Kennedy and Bisping, there's really not that many other interesting fights on this card. And this is going to be the Ultimate Fighter Nations finale. Okay, this is actually taking place on the 16th. I was wrong on the date. And then on the 19th, you have Fabricio Werdum versus Travis Brown. Now, that's a fight I'm interested in because Travis Brown, coming off of his devastating win over Josh Burnett, if he wins this fight, he may get a title shot. You know, I know Velasquez is injured, and I think a lot of people would want to see the wrestler Velasquez take on Travis Brown, you know, who's a striker, who can be considered a striker. And just the fact that he was able to stop the takedown. I mean, Josh Burnett arguably is a lesser wrestler than Cain Velasquez, but he was able to stop the takedown and just elbow Barnett into, you know, pieces. It was really, really a brutal, brutal victory. And, you know, Travis Brown has a history of displaying takedown defense in his fights, and I think that's going to be key versus Velasquez. Travis Brown, 6'7", okay, he could beat Velasquez. It's the way he's ending fights now. Travis Brown makes him intriguing. Makes him would be an intriguing fighter to watch him fight for the championship. You also got Miesha Tate versus Liz Carmouche. Who cares? Okay, I don't see either of these two women really vying for any type of title. And that kind of leads me to speculation when it comes to the UFC's women's division. We know that they're signing strawweight fighters, very attractive strawweight fighters. We know that there's some talk about Gina Carano coming back and fighting Ronda Rousey. And, you know, Gina is having a meeting with Dana White. So it's like, you know, they're just trying to promote these fights now on the basis of looks, I think. I think that has a lot to do with it now. You know, get these women who are attractive in there and have them fight and try to make money that way. But really, Gina Carano hasn't fought since 2009. Does anybody believe that she's going to be able to beat Ronda? I don't think so. You know, I really don't. The only, you know, you've got Kat Zingano, who recently lost her husband by suicide. She was injured, and I think that could be a pretty marketable fight. Maybe Kat will have one fight or two fights before she fights Ronda. But Ronda versus Gina Carano, come on. I don't think it lends itself to the sport. This is more on sex appeal and more on, you know, just almost using women in a chauvinistic way, I would argue. Because how can you really even justify that, where Gina Carano hasn't fought in 5 years and all of a sudden she gets a title shot versus Ronda Rousey? Not saying Gina Carano wasn't a good fighter. She was. I mean, Cyborg had difficulty beating her. But she just doesn't warrant a title shot. She's been away from the sport for so long and cannot compete at the level of Ronda. And so I just think, again, this is, you know, maybe the direction that the UFC wants to take with women fighting. And I think it's unfortunate, and I don't know. But that's what's coming up here with the UFC. And then they have another event, too, the following week. It's difficult to really keep track of all these events. Let me give you an update on Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has been transferred back to the Sacramento County Jail. He is awaiting trial. And last I heard, he's going to take his case to trial, and he may have a good chance of beating the case. Okay, there's a lot of things, I think, working in his favor. And the only thing is it's going to suck because the conditions at the jail that Dan is staying in are worse than the Napa Valley Hospital, the mental facility he was staying in. Dan's not getting a lot of food. They privatized these prisons, and now the less they feed the prisoners, the more money the private companies make. And I think that's unfortunate. I think it's a form of cruel and unusual punishment, but that's what's happening. And I kind of feel bad for Dan. And Dan tries to call me, but now, you know, when he was at Napa Valley Hospital, I could call him on his payphone and record, which means that I can record from my room. Now Dan can only call me on a payphone at these weird hours, and a lot of times if I'm not home or, you know, if I'm not by my computer, I can't answer the phone, so I can't record any updates with Dan Quinn. So the updates now with Dan Quinn are going to be a little bit more far and few between. So that's something that you really got to understand. But nonetheless, we're still going to have updates with Dan Quinn. We'll put him on the show. This is the only Dan Quinn update show, okay? We're the only people that actually record updates with Dan Quinn, because there's still a lot of intrigue about Mr. Dan Quinn. He's still a very, very captivating figure. And Dan is a personal friend of mine. He is, and always will be. And Joan is a very, very good person, has really helped Dan out. And so we wish Dan Quinn all the best. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back here on Carson's Corner. Don't touch that dial, folks. Keep it right here. My name is Bob Carson. And by the way, if you want to friend me, you can at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. What a great song that is by Stan Bush. Great voice. That of course, is from the movie Bloodsport. My Fight to Survive. Oh, yes, baby. Stan Bush, very, very talented musician from the 80s. Yeah, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank Davidius Turasevicius for coming on the show. I do intend to post this interview on my Facebook page, and also the Underground Forum. And Davidius, we have to go back and get some of the comments, you know, try to provide a transcript of the interview, but he made some interesting comments. And, you know, again, it's someone that I think has too good of a record not to be in the top organizations. But I think from what it sounded, Davidius is only interested in going into the UFC. And we wish him well. We really do. But we'll have to see what happens, you know. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Again, I encourage you to like the Carson's Corner Facebook page at facebook.com/Carson's Corner 13. Just some other news here. The UFC trying to get Nick Diaz versus Hector Lombard. That would be a good fight, actually. I would enjoy seeing that. I think Lombard might beat Nick Diaz. And Lombard is a guy that I would like to see Johnny Hendricks fight after Johnny Hendricks recovers from bicep surgery. You know, some people were suggesting that Rory McDonald should fight Johnny Hendricks. And me and Ryan Langford, actually Ryan Langford, the famous poster, famous individual on Fight Sport. I don't know if he's still posting on Fight Sport, but he used to be on the Underground Forum, private investigator from Iowa, and guy that's really been around for a long time. It's not someone you want to mess with online. I know firsthand. Ryan Langford actually refers to Rory McDonald as Laurie McDonald before I called Rory McDonald Girly McDonald after his fight or during his fight with Damian Maia, because I just can't stand him. I'm sorry. I you know, I'm not trying to fight or bash here. I just can't stand the guy, the kid. He just doesn't do it for me. He really doesn't. He's not an exciting fighter to watch. He doesn't have an exciting personality, okay? And I don't want to see him fight Johnny Hendricks. I want to see Hector Lombard fight, because Hector Lombard is a knockout artist, okay? He's someone that swings with, you can argue, wildly, but with a lot of power. He's got the judo background, which I don't think Hendricks is going to be able to take him down. But, you know, who knows? I mean, what's the Japanese fighter? Yushin Okami was able to take Lombard down. So was Tim Haig. Those guys are a little bigger than Johnny Hendricks. And Johnny Hendricks has takedown ability, but Johnny Hendricks doesn't really have control ability. You know what I mean? He's good at takedown, but you don't see Johnny Hendricks control a lot of guys on the ground. You know, he just doesn't have the frame, the body size as a Yushin Okami or Tim Boach, not Tim Haig, Tim Boach, who also beat Hector Lombard. But we'll have to say that would be an actual good fight. And I reject the notion of Nick Diaz fighting for the welterweight championship. That's pretty offensive that would even be in consideration. I think Dana White has even laughed that off. But anyway, that's it for Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. Please check us out on Facebook and make sure to support this show. If you're interested in politics, I'll be having a political show tomorrow, doing a lot of stuff here. You'll notice yours truly was pictured on USA Today. Got a lot of other stuff going on, so that's really it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.